Jackson. Who are you? This fucking question is real. We have left with her. What? Actually, left with her repeated those two words. She plays the left with on the table. The Pasha of the Akiva. Fascinating. The exact same words. Jonah says, Demokachna bincha tichidcha shahasta tithach v'lach lecha halayat hamariya mali v'sham l'olam. The Shpuruch uses the same exact words. Alach lecha, go to yourself. Which yourself means to explain what those words mean. Just a simple translation. We're not against that today. Alach lecha is referring to a concept of go, going to yourself, going to accomplish something great and incredible. And the usage of the word alach lecha is not a coincidence that Kosh Baruch Hu chose those words in this Messiah, leaving his father house, Artsakha, or Adulcha, Beitavicha, and by the Akedah. I want to jump to the Akedah for a moment, and I want to come back to Allah Lacha and try to compare and contrast the two Lacha. So the famous question, which I'm sure we've all heard, that the idea of Lech Lecha, by the Akedah in particular, and the concept of the Akedah, and then the study of the Akedah, the entire test of the Akedah is very strange. We consider this to be the test. So the greatest according to Moshe Rishonim was the last one according to Moshe Rishonim. The highest level, the pinnacle of Avraham Avinu's career in his Nisyonos is the Akedah. He's willing to give up his son, bring him up to a carbon. And the reflection is a very obvious question, is that if you look throughout the generations, this is something which has been something that the most simple Jews have done, unfortunately, again and again and again, giving up their lives, Kiddush Hashem, sometimes in the most dramatic of fashions, with Simcha, walking into the gas chamber, singing, Ashrei Matel Fakenu, as we've all heard. Baruch Hashem, Klal Yisrael have had the tenacity to have been doing this and giving up their lives for all the years of Golus. How is it that we portray the Nes, sorry, the Nisayon of the Akedah as something which is so incredible? And Avraham Avinu, and he accomplished that. And something which seemingly the regular simple Jews have done throughout their lives. And the famous answer which we're going to work off of from Rohan Wasserman, essentially Rohan Wasserman himself, was killed. An incredible story leading up to it. He was killed on the 9th fort by the Nazis, HaKadosh Hashem. He was murdered. He was murdered by the Nazis. What was fascinating was before he was murdered, he knew, and it was the whole group of people that were taken with him to be murdered, and he gave a shiur, HaKadosh Hashem, in the yeshiva, which is, you can just imagine the scene. People knowing they're going to be killed, they give a shiur of what it means and how one is killed by the Kiddush Hashem. Spoke about the idea, this was recorded afterwards. People who were there, who Baruch Hashem survived, recorded afterwards that he spoke about the idea of that we're a carbon, we're a sacrifice to Kodesh Baruch Hu. One of the requirements for a carbon is it can't be pickle. So that means any wrong thoughts, any improper thoughts during the process of bringing the carbon. Person brings a carbon and thinks about it for the wrong time or the wrong carbon, he doesn't have the right thoughts in mind, and then validates the carbon. Our Bahanan focused on that speech which he gave to those who were gathered around him was how he has to think in our mind, going up for a carbon and not think of anything besides the Kodesh Baruch Hu and doing that. Incredible, incredible story in and of itself. But Bahanan responds to this question and says, why is it? And how is it that we consider the Akedah something which is an incredible test? He says, that was only because of Avraham Avinu. Meaning, Avraham Avinu put into the DNA of Klal Yisrael, to the DNA of every single Jew that's ever going to live, this concept of Mesirus Nefesh, of giving up your life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, giving your life for Hashem itself. And so, Avraham Avinu that concept was something which was not just foreign, something which is impossible, something which is even something in the realm of possibility that someone could even think along those lines. Avraham Avinu took it to a level, we'll call it raising the bar to the high, in the highest extreme, and he didn't just do it for himself. Everything that Avraham Avinu did, the reason why it's called Avinu, and Yitzchak and Yaakov, is because the concepts that they were involved with were things they were implanting into Klal Yisrael. And they implanted into the fabric of Klal Yisrael, into the DNA of Klal Yisrael, that a person could think along those lines. They could have the concept, the ability, the forethought to think about giving up their lives for Kodesh Baruch Hu, and everything came really as a result of that. So all the children of Avraham Avinu, which came as a result of that. And that's Rav Chanan's concept. And the Akedah, the greatness that Akedah was, not just for himself, but really for all generations, putting that into Klal Yisrael. I want to put that to a side for a moment and build off of that. But that's what the Nisayan and the greatness of the Akedah was. And then I want to go back to Allah Safa and talk about that for a moment and really put the two things together. There's a very fascinating medrash, which equates in many ways our Lech Lecha and that Lech Lecha. The Lech Lecha of Avraham Avinu leaving his birthplace and his father's house, and the Lech Lecha of the Akedah. Again, using the same words. And the medrash picks up on the fact that the same words were used, and the fact that there's a connection as a result between the two. Medrash writes as follows. Amar of Lady Baruch Yasa. Shnei Pamim Ksiv Lech Lecha. There are two times in the Torah it says the words Lech Lecha. Over here, and the Parashat of the Akedah. Ve'inam ve'yodin eizadu chaviva. I don't know which is more, it's unclear which is more precious, which is a higher level of sacrifice, of a test, of going above and beyond the person's natural tendencies are. Rishonah and Mashmir was the first one or the second one. And the Medrash ends that from the fact that it says, Lech Lecha Eretz HaMoria, HaVashmir Chaviv Ben Rishonah. The fact that the second one took place at Eretz on HaMoria, on the Mamorai, that's a proof. The second one is a higher level, because it says, "Ruchia, Rava, Raviani, Mamokum Shahura Yasalola." Because Kamaria is a word which is not just the name of the mountain, but the word Maria is from the word of a teacher, like Mora, Hora, and therefore it's something which was a teaching to the world, and the fact that it took place on Har Maria is an indicator, a hint, that it was a greater level. That's the Medrash, very cryptic and strange Medrash. I want to focus on 2 points of this Medrash. Number one, the ability for the Medrash to compare the two Nisyonos, to compare the two tests, seems something which is beyond comprehension. Giving up one's child that you waited for a century, giving up that child and bringing up for a sacrifice and the test of that, and comparing it to the test of leaving. Not easy. Packing is not easy. Unpacking is not easy. Leaving your birthplace is not easy. Leaving your father's house is not easy. All those things aren't easy. We'll give that. That's a given. Definitely one of the ten nisyonos, without question. But the Medrash to say for the fact that the Torah puts them with the same wording of Lech Lecha, it seems to be in some level an indication that they're somewhat equal. So to the extent they're not even sure the Medrash says, it's unclear which one is a more difficult. Which one is more precious than HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Which one is more difficult than compare the two? They're on the same level? I think it would be obvious to anyone that the one of the Akedah is something which is way beyond certainly the test of Lech Lecha from Arapasha. And the second point is, what's the Medrash really proving from the words Har Maria, that it was some sort of teaching to the world? Okay, there's some sort of hint in the words Maria, Har Maria, where it was taking place, what was going on. What's going on? What exactly is this Medrash, and how do you understand the equation and the somehow the similar level between the two tests? So I want to share an idea which is more than Rav Schwab said from the base of Shoeva. I think it's a fundamental concept into the test of Avraham Avinu, these two in particular, and perhaps from which we can take a very valuable lesson from. So Schwab takes us back to a Rashi in the end of Parshas Noach. The strange cryptic Rashi. The Rashi writes as follows. The last pasuk in Noach, the last six pasuk talks about Terach Doim, I'm his father passing on from this world. He may Terach Chamei Shanim, Masai Shani, he lived 205 years, Vayamath Terach Lachar. And then Terach died in Lachar. And then obviously we had the opening of our parasha, Lach Lacha. It would seem, from the chronological order of the second, that Terach died before Avraham Avinu left. That's what it sounds like. And the parasha Noach is Terach dying, and beginning of parasha Noach, Lach Lacha is Avraham leaving. It seems Terach was when he passed on. Now, it's not true. Actually, it's not true. Chronologically, it's not true. And Rashi proves it from the age of Avraham Avinu and the age of Terach, which is, look at Rashi, goes through very clearly the Cheshbon. Says Rashi, Terach b'charan, this pasuk is not in the correct chronological order. This really belongs after the parasha of Avraham b'charan. Rashi says it was more than 60 years later. And it proves it from the psukim that it took place that Avraham Avinu left Haran. So the obvious question is, why is it put it over here? So there isn't a concept in the Torah. The Torah is not written necessarily chronologically, which doesn't have to be. But every time it's not chronologically correct, there's a reason for that. The Torah puts things out of order, and there's a lesson to be learned, some concept to be taught. And Rashi is bothered with, why would the Torah do that for us? Very confusing. Read the psukim, it doesn't seem to be make any sense. Putting first the death of Terach, and then the leading of Avraham Avinu. So Rashi says, "Along the Hikdim, Akos of Misasa Shal Terach, Lidasa Shal Avraham." Why does the Torah put this pasuk before the leading of Avraham, not in correct order? Shloya Adavim refers to Makol Yomer. People shouldn't hear about the leading Avraham and be bothered with the following issue: Lakim Avraham as Cupid Avis. Avraham left his father. Shenichu Zakim Halakha, his father was an old man, 145 when Avraham left, which even in those days was somewhat older. I mean, he left at 205, so he lived another 60 years. But wasn't a young man, wasn't a person who was able to get around probably very easily. And Avraham just leaves him? As an old man, he leaves his father? Lakim is Avraham as Kibbutz Avraham? Shenichu Zakim Halakha? Lefika Karwa Kastav Meis. Listen to what Rashi says. Therefore, the Torah says that he died. He didn't actually die now. But Sharisham Afachayim Kuya Mason. Because Rishon, even when they're alive, they're referred to as dead. The Tzadikim Afach Mitasim Kuya Mechayim. The Tzadikim are the opposite. Even when they're passed off in this world, they're called alive. So as she says, we're putting the fact sort of a way of saying that that Terach died, he didn't really die now, or like sort of calling him dead, because he was a Rasha, and therefore no one would have the issue of that Avraham left his father, because he was dead. Strange Rasha, he wasn't dead. We're calling him dead, because he was a Rasha, and therefore even in his Rish, even when he was alive, he was a Rasha. Listen to this Rashi for a moment. Rashi's saying that the reason why I put it before is because people shouldn't be bothered with the fact that Avraham left his father as an old man and didn't take care of him. People will be bothered by that. So if the Torah says he's dead, he's not really dead, but it's like dead because he's a Rasha, and that answers the problem. Doesn't answer the problem at all. Because if he's not dead, people can have the same issue. He left his father, he's an old man. So what exactly is Rashi talking about? How is Rashi resolving this issue that the struggle and the challenge that people are going to be bothered with is that people are going to say that his father was left as an old man? He didn't die. He wasn't really dead. So first calling him dead. He wasn't dead. He was alive. So calling him dead because he was a Rashi. So it was a very, very difficult Rashi. So Shlomo does an incredible thing. Incredible, incredible idea of understanding this whole episode of Terach and Avraham and leaving, etc. We know, Rashi means it down later on, that Terach did tshuva. Terach did come back and did tshuva. When? It's very unclear when exactly did Terach do tshuva. At what point did Terach do tshuva? So Shlom, he proves it from Medrash, and he has other proofs. So Shlom says that Terach did tshuva actually before Avraham Avinu left. Did tshuva. He came back, and it was somewhere in that time period, he was 140 years old, somewhere around that time period. That's where he did tshuva. And if there's proofs to that, which I'm not going to right now, but he improves it in tshuva earlier on. In that context, He has a whole different explanation in this Rashi that can help us understand this Medrash as well. So the Torah says the people are going to say he left his father in his old age. Rashi's not talking about the fact that he left his father, he was an old man, hard for him to get around, to be taken care of. Rashi wasn't talking about it. Rashi's talking about a much, much deeper issue from a spiritual context. Terach was a person who was a famous Rashi. For many, many years, he was a person who told about Azari, told about Azari, was the well-known story with his father and his. Well, it's not a story. Everyone knows the story. And then he does tshuva. At some point, let's say around 140 years old, sort of deep into his life. 140 years of doing Avodah Zarah, and then he comes around and does tshuva. How did that happen? Where did the tshuva process come from? So Schwab says it's obvious. It came from his son. Avraham Avinu was the greatest makari, the greatest person who was reaching out to people around the world, trying to influence them and teach them about Hashem and trying to involve them in the process of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no question that at some point that worked vis-a-vis his father. And the image that Avraham stood for and the concept that he stood for and the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to influence his father as well. And Avraham Avinu was that great person who spent his life teaching, inspiring others, and certainly it rubbed off on his father, and it was able to influence his father. So Rashi says, Rashi follows the following question. After 140 years, your life's mission of influencing others and teaching others finally made the biggest impact. Your father turned around. Your father became the person who was now altruism, completely. He was over the Zohar, he was someone who was not just over, but he was causing and teaching about the Zohar, and now he turns around and became altruism. Says Rashi, now you're leaving him? Now you're going to leave your father at this point? What's Rashi bother with? Someone who was involved in 140 years of Avodah Zarah and is a fresh reason about Shuvah probably needs continued support, continued teaching, continued guidance, continued involvement. That's the greatest thing to leave him. The possibility or the likelihood of him slipping back into his old ways and falling back into the things he was struggling with for 140 years, something which is a very real possibility. Says Rashi, people are going to start saying, you live for teaching others, you live for inspiring others, you live for giving over your lessons to others. You finally were successful vis-a-vis your father, now you're going to leave him? And perhaps allow the possibility of him return to his own ways after all that was accomplished? Can't be. Can't do that. Can't be. But Schwab takes it one step further. That was exactly the Nisayan, it was exactly what the test of Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha is a test to the essence of who Avraham Avinu was. His nature, his essence was teaching, inspiring, giving to others. And to do the opposite of that, to leave his father, who he finally was able to bring back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, back to Tshuva and leave him, would be the opposite of everything Avraham Avinu stood for. Says Rishpam, it's exactly what the Nisayan of Takedah was. The difficulty of bringing his son up on the altar and killing him, that may not be the greatest of the part of the test. Because Rishpam was the one to do that. He's going to do it. You know what's the greater part of the test? That Avraham Avinu is the one who's teaching the world, not Rishpam, who he's a Rachamim, he cares, he loves us, he takes care of us, he watches over us. And that same God wants you to take your son and bring him for a sacrifice and kill him? Is there anything more bizarre than that? You know what people are going to say? People are going to look at that and say, how could that be? They mean the inherent contradiction that's going to appear in the eyes of the world is really the greater aspect of the struggle. Because you know what that means? That's a chalasha. If Avraham Avinu is a person, represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a rachamim, as a person who cares and loves and teaches and inspires. And then the same messenger of God also goes and kills the son. What are people going to say? How are people going to look at Avraham and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the lessons and the mission that he stood for? Because Rishon, that's the same question people can have by leaving his father's house. Is he leaving father's house? You care and you're inspiring and you're teaching and you left your father alone and just let him go? And the fact that Avraham Avinu in both cases said HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to do so, I'm going to need to push myself beyond what's comfortable for me, beyond what I think makes sense. It doesn't make sense because people are going to say terrible things about me and about HaKadosh, which not about him, it wasn't a personal thing, but which leads to what they say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what he stands for, he represents. And that's the true understanding, the true challenge of the Akedah. What are people going to say? How is it going to look in the eyes of the world around me, how I, as an ambassador of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are doing things which are inherently contradictory? I'm caring about my father, but I'm not. I'm teaching my father, I'm inspiring him, inspiring the world, and I'll leave my father. I care about my son, I love him, and I kill him. And the Shwab says that's the equation you made your space between two things. Exactly what Rashi is saying. People are going to say that you're leaving your father. Listen to what Rashi responds. So Rashi says, Mathikas Hakar Okasim Nis. Sarah calls him dead. But Rashi, the way Rashi wants, that's not the answer of Rashi. So Rashi, Afa Chayim Mekuri Mesim, but Tzadikim Afa Mizas Mekuri Chayim. Incredible thing. That a Rashi when he's alive is called dead, or a Tzadik when he's alive, even when he passes on, it's still called alive. The point that Rashi is really focusing on is that Terach started again. Terach had a new existence. He died as a previous existence, he started a new existence. He died as previous existence of the person who's involved in the Rezaah and started a new existence over again as a new Baal Tshuva was able to go and stand on his own. And Kishpoch's response to the question of what people are going to say is that, no, Terach can start it again. He's a new alive person. He's a person who died the original death and started a new life over again. And look who he is now. He's able to move on. And therefore, the question that people are going to have from a spiritual perspective is not something you should be bothered with. That's something you should worry about. And Rashi's main point is this, what the Nisayim was, what the real test was, what the struggle in the that Avraham Avinu was struggling with in both of these cases in the equation. The Medrash ends that how many which one's greater? If both of them have the same inherent struggle, that they're against the nature of Avraham Avinu and against the nature of what he taught the world, and therefore they're both inherently Yechol Hashem, says the Medrash, no, you know that the one which is Har Maria, the one which is, took place in Har Maria is greater? Because of this idea of Mora, because it's a teacher. Who is it a teacher to? Because the Medrash, Shorah Yatzim Ha'olam, was a teaching to the entire world. It was something which was more actually explicit to the entire world. What was the teaching? Teaching that Avraham Avinu taught the world was that even when things, in my mind, don't seem to make sense, because these are the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it seems like a Chol Hashem, it seems something which is not okay, not acceptable. If the world is going to say and think and believe, so look what I'm teaching the world about the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, loves us, and Rachman, and killing my own child. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that this is what's supposed to be done, this is what should be done. We put our own feelings, thoughts, emotions aside, and say, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It may not make sense to me at all today, and it may be something which inherently seems like a contradiction and really Chol Hashem in many ways. I need to put that aside for the sake of my belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's something which is greater because it was more widespread. I mean, the concept of the Akedah was more widespread, became more well-known, because it was something which was everyone heard about. It was Chorah Yatzim Olam, something which was a very public aspect, even though no one else was there. But the very fact of what took place and something that was so shocking to the world was something which was much more widespread than the Lech Lecha. Of course, something which, again, Rashi said people will bother with, and visiting his father, okay, on one level that's an issue, but certainly not to the same level as this, where it's a contradiction. And I think that the entire lesson for ourselves is twofold. On one hand, the idea of that going above and beyond my own feeling, intellect, thoughts, what I sometimes believe to be correct, and saying it in this case is clear because Shlomo said something which is different, That is my Messiah, to go above and beyond. And we all have this different, a different level, a different place, a different nature. Thinking it is correct. And paraclete is clear, you know, in this case, it's not what's correct. In this case, something which is different than you may have thought easily or thought simply or thought at first plan. And that concept is that we're going to put into us. And whether it's in sacrificing the child, we're going against what seems to be acceptable to the world, the inherent understanding of the Akedah, and going above and beyond our own intellect, and really the mavatal, nullifying our intellect, that first part of desire is the underlying common denominator in these two nesterim, and from Avinu's ability to go beyond that and putting that into our DNA, so we can go beyond that. We can go above and beyond what simply seems sometimes the correct or the right thing to do to the rest of the first part. Okay. Thank you.